The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter number 18, Text number 37, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 26th, 2012, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Dravya,
Dravya,
Kriya,
Kriya,
Hetu,
Ayana,
Isha,
Kartribi,
Mayagunai,
Vastu,
Nirikshita,
Atmane,
Anvikshaya,
Anga,
Atishaya,
Atishaya,
Atma,
Atma,
Buddhibhi,
Buddhibhi,
Nirasta,
Nirasta,
Maya,
Maya,
Akritaye,
Akritaye,
Namaha,
Namaha,
Namaha, Dravya Kriya Heva Yanesha Kartribir,
Dravya Kriya Heva.
Maya gunair vastu nirikshitatmane.
Maya gunair vastu nirikshitatmane.
Anvikshayan gatishayatma buddhibir.
Anvikshayan gatishayatma buddhibir.
Nirasta maya kritaye namo namaha.
Nirasta maya kritaye.
Dravya kriya hetva yanesha kartribir.
Dravya kriya hetva yanesha kartribir.
Maya gunair vastu nirikshitatmane.
Maya gunair vastu nirikshitatmane.
Anvikshayan gashtishayatma buddhibir. Nirasta maya kritaye namo namaha.
Nirasta maya kritaye namo namaha.
Dravya.
Dravya.
By the objects of sense enjoyment.
By the objects of sense enjoyment.
Kriya.
Kriya.
The activities of the senses.
The activities of the senses.
Hetu.
Hetu.
The predominating deities, of sensory activities. Ayana, the body. Isha,
the predominating time.
Kartribi,
by false egotism.
Maya gunai,
by the modes of material nature.
Vastu,
as a fact.
Nirikshita,
Nirikshita,
being observed.
Atmane,
unto the Supreme Soul.
Anvikshaya,
by careful consideration.
Anga,
by the limbs of yoga practice. Atishaya Atma Buddhibhi, by those whose intelligence has become fixed. Nirasta, completely freed from. Maya, the illusory energy.
Akritaye,
whose form.
Namaha,
all respectful obeisances.
Namaha,
respectful obeisances.
Obeisances.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. Jai.
the objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism, are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sensual pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on, are produced by the Lord's external energy, Maya. The background of all these activities is the living entity, the living being, and the director of the living beings is the super soul. The living being is not the all in all, he is directed by the super soul. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham sriji sannivishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the super soul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, yam, niyam, asana, and so on, can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Therefore, he is described as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause, and one who sees, or one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Satchidananda Vigraha, is the background of everything, as he himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena konteya jagadvi parivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine. When I read this purport, this particular line jumps out of the page at me. One who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. So what does that mean? That means if you can't see Krishna, you're blind. You may have very good 20/20 vision. You may not need to wear glasses. But if you can't see Krishna, your eyes are defective. You're blind. This is the point. And even if you wear glasses, if you can see Krishna, you have very good vision. So somehow we have to see Krishna. You see, this is the point. Now, what does it mean to see Krishna? Does seeing necessarily mean through the eyes? Sometimes seeing means the eye. But if you analyze the English word see, you will see, which means you will understand. You see, see can also, you will see, also means understand, you will understand. So see, not only seeing means the eyes, it also means understanding. But someone says, well, I heard that those pakoras are really fantastic. Let's see what they taste like. You see what I'm saying? See can apply to any of the senses. Even it can apply to your intelligence. So when we talk about seeing Krishna, that's a pretty wide range of things included within that term, see Krishna. So we have to understand, if we see that Krishna is the original cause of all causes with our intelligence, then we are seeing Krishna. If we taste prasadam, we are seeing Krishna. If we hear the kirtan, we are seeing Krishna. If we hear the Bhagavad philosophy, we are seeing Krishna. So this seeing Krishna is a very, very available thing. Anybody can see Krishna if they want to see Krishna. You see. The difficulty is they don't want to see Krishna. They want to deny Krishna, you see. Because they want to be the Supreme. Therefore, they don't want to see Krishna. But how relishable is it to think oneself as the Supreme? It's not true, first of all. And second of all, can you really pull it off? I mean, could you really be the Supreme? You can't really be the Supreme. People try, you see. It's like Hitler tried to be the Supreme. But he wasn't able, he was a failure. And Ravana tried to be the Supreme. Hiranyakashipu, you see. Kamsa. One can try to take a supreme position in this material world, but you can't be successful at it. It's just not possible. Because we are very tiny, the material nature is very powerful, you see. So, if one wants actual power, one wants actual knowledge, one wants actual strength, then one has to become subordinate to Krishna. As we studied in the Bhagavad Gita class the other evening, yatra yogeshvara krishno yatra parata dhanurdhanaha tatra shir vajayo bhutir nirvanirtir mutir mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is the opinion of Sanjay. So, you may say, well, I don't really believe this. It just sounds like another one of those religious dogmas. I don't really believe this. I just believe in money and sex and power. That's all I believe in. But you can make an experiment. You can try living your life dedicated to money, sex, and power and see where it gets you. You can try living your life dedicated to Krishna and see where that gets you. Palena parachyate. And a thing is judged by its result. Serve your sense gratificatory desires and see what the end result is. Do you become full of bliss? Or do you become very agitated and disturbed? As Krishna aptly points out in Bhagavad Gita, Dushparena Nalena Cha. Those desires, they burn like fire and they're never satisfied. You may have a blazing fire, and the fire is saying, I'm hungry, give me fuel. So you give some fuel to that fire. Does he become satisfied now? Oh, now my appetite is finished. Thank you very much. I can cool down. No. The more you give fuel to the fire, the more it becomes avaricious for more fuel, more fuel. That fire will consume the whole universe if you give it a chance. That is the nature of fire. You see? It never becomes satisfied. It always wants more, 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 more. So the senses are just like fire. You see? They're just like fire. Therefore, Prabhupada says, tolerate that itch. You see? Tolerate the itch. If you scratch the itch, it gets more, it itches more. If you tolerate it, it goes away in due course of time. So it may be more comfortable to scratch the itch, but in the long run, it's better to tolerate the itch and let it go away. In Krishna consciousness, we tolerate the desires, illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. One may feel some desires for sexual indulgence, sensual indulgence, but one tolerates it because he knows it's the doorway to the lower planets. It's the doorway to the animal kingdom if I indulge in these sensual desires. So he tolerates it, understanding that, all right, it's a little disturbing to tolerate it, but the result will be wonderful, simply wonderful. Because by giving up the lower tastes and cultivating the higher taste, then I will become fixed in consciousness. Vishayavani vartante nirahara rashavar shangrashopyasha parang vishnanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. So it's worth it. If we can give up the lower taste and cultivate the higher taste is much better too. Instead of relishing illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, gambling, we can relish the name of Krishna. People say, well, there's no pleasure there. This is just a bunch of hype. It's just some name. You can say anything. You can say, you know, Sydney Opera House, Sydney Opera House. What's the difference? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's just some sound vibration. But they don't realize the absolute nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't realize there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the source of all existence. I mean, what gives pleasure to anything? Why does anything have any pleasure at all in it? Because it's all part of Krishna. Krishna is the greatest pleasure. That's one of the meanings of the word Krishna, greatest pleasure. So anything that's enjoyable, it only has enjoyment because it is part of the energy of Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Anything pleasurable, spiritual or material, only has pleasure because it is part of Krishna, the supreme reservoir of pleasure. So why take a few pennies when you can get the whole treasury house, you see? So any pleasure, material or spiritual, it's simply a fragmental portion of the unlimited pleasure which is there in Krishna. So we can, by chanting Hare Krishna, by surrendering to the wonderful instructions of Srila Prabhupada, then we can actually connect with Krishna, who is the source of all pleasure. And when you come to the source of all pleasure, you cannot be lacking in pleasure in any way. Any pleasure separated from Krishna is illusory pleasure. It's not genuine pleasure. But when we connect with Krishna, and we get that pleasure of loving rasa, our loving relationship with that amazingly powerful, beautiful, renowned, knowledgeable, wealthy, and famous person, whose form is full of truth, bliss, and substantiality. Each and every one of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Show me any person of this world who can do that. You can take any part of his body, and that even one hair from his head, you see? And with any part of his body, he can eternally see, maintain, and manifest all the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Show me any beautiful girl who can do them, or a good-looking guy who can do that, you see? So why are we running after these things? It doesn't make any sense. Some powerful politician. Nobody can do this. Only Krishna has this potency. With even a tip of his toe, you see, he can maintain all the manifest and fully be aware of everything that's going on in the infinite universe, spiritual and mundane. Where there's no person like this. So there's no relationship that can give anything near the satisfaction that one can get by having a relationship with Krishna. So how do you have a relationship with Krishna? It's not difficult. He explains how to do it in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the how-to manual of how to have a loving relationship with Krishna. It's very simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. You just have to read the Bhagavad Gita and follow the instructions, and by doing that, then you get your own personal, loving, intimate relationship with Krishna. This process is not hype, ladies and gentlemen. This process is real. This process brings you into direct contact with that person who's the source of everything, who's inaccessible to the Vedas, but who's obtainable by a pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, whose form is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, who is the beginning in the eternal Purusha, and yet he possesses the body of a blooming youth. This process will bring you into direct, personal, intimate relationship with that supreme superstar, Krishna. But you have to follow the instructions. You can't concoct your own system. You have to follow the instructions coming down from the Guru Parampara. You have to follow them. You cannot change it and to make it suitable for your own senses or to make it suitable for so-called political correctness. You have to take the system exactly as it is handed down by the previous acharyas and follow it sincerely, follow it enthusiastically, follow it patiently, determinedly, and then the result will be yours. You will achieve and become a pure devotee, and you'll fully reawaken your intimate loving relationship with that amazing person who's the first progenitor, who's yielding all desire, who's tending the cows in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always being served with great care and attention by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis, who's adept at playing the flute, whose blooming eyes are like lotus petals. That amazing person who is manifested as Shamsundra, who has a garland, a beautiful garland around his neck, beautified with a moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, and whose graceful threefold bending form of Shamsundar is eternally manifest, and you can have a relationship with him, a direct personal relationship with that person. All you have to do is follow this pathway sincerely, under the guidance of the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, and the scriptures, and you'll make it. That's all you have to do. Are you ready? Do you want to follow? Do you want to attain Krishna? Then follow these instructions. They're not my instructions. I'm just a messenger boy, Prabhupada's messenger boy. It's Prabhupada's instructions. I'm not here to make up something new. I'm just giving you what Prabhupada has given to me. And if you will follow these instructions of Srila Prabhupada, you'll become a perfect yogi, a perfect bhakta, the topmost transcendentalist. Doesn't matter if you have a male body, a female body, an Indian body, an Australian body, a Chinese body, a little kid's body, whatever you may have. If you will follow these teachings, you'll become the greatest transcendentalist in this lifetime. So I can ask now if there's any questions. I see some written down. Okay. If one reads, understands, and follows Bhagavad Gita, is that sufficient, or is it important that one has to also read other scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc.? I can guarantee you, anybody who reads, understands, and follows the Bhagavad Gita will definitely read the Bhagavatam. They definitely will. They'll be so inspired that they'll just be greedy for everything they can get. They'll read all of Prabhupada's books. I guarantee you, anybody who completely follows the Gita will be reading all of Prabhupada's books. Greedily, every minute, every spare minute, reading, talking about, distributing also, so that everybody can get them, you see. So there's no question about this, you know, well, I've read the Gita, I don't want to read anything else. No way. Once you get that taste for transcendental Krishna Gita, you just become greedy like anything. You know, a voracious reader of Prabhupada's books. Okay. It's said that one has to surrender outcome, output in all activities and occupations for Krishna. Can you please elaborate more on this? How can one do it in his or her day-to-day life? It's very simple. It's like you work a job and you make money, right? So is that your money? Or is it Krishna's money? If you think it's your money, you'll never be able to dovetail with Krishna by your work. But if you say this is Krishna's money, and it has to all be, every penny must be spent in a way that is pleasing to Krishna, then you're becoming a perfect yogi, even in the workplace, you see. You should never think, and this is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, I am working not to maintain my household, but to maintain Krishna's household. So you have to give up the sense of false sense of proprietorship. You have to see Krishna as the owner of everything and use everything for him. It's not difficult. Simply you have to always remember, Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I'm the owner of everything. If you keep that vision always, then you'll never have any anxiety, you'll never have any confusion, delusion, bewilderment, depression. You'll always be happy in all circumstances. Because everything is the property of Krishna and everything should be used for Krishna. Sometimes the mind is caught up in sensory activity. In other words, the mind is thinking about i.e. while we are doing devotional service. In these times it is better to give in and continue devotional service or do our devotional service with a disturbed mind. Well, the thing is, we have a lot of dirt. You're sitting there, you know, chanting japa and bliss, and all some dirty thought of previous sinful activities come, and this is like a whole movie turns on in your brain, you know. This, you know, 3D with full Technicolor, you know, stereo sound movie comes on in your brain, and it's just like, wow. And you're trying to chant, and all this dirt just comes in. You see this thing and that thing, and all these sinful things you did just come flashing through your mind again. And you just got to keep, just keep chanting, and it'll go away. I mean, you can't stop your devotional service. You just keep your devotional service going. It's natural that we will be sometimes a neophyte devotee. We neophytes will sometimes be tormented by thoughts, material thoughts. It's just, you know, it's just par for the course on the neophyte level. But as we gradually progress, those things will become less and less and less, and finally they will just not happen anymore. But even at But sometimes you can go for weeks and months and your mind is completely pure, and all of a sudden, whammo, you're sitting one day to chant or do something and your mind is disturbed. You just have to keep doing your service and don't pay it any serious attention. Just because the mind is screaming for sense enjoyment, that doesn't mean you have to give it what it wants. You just have to ignore the rascal mind. Please excuse me for asking this. There are a lot of statements in the Bhagavatam by demigods which may not be completely true. Can Vyasadeva certify Sanjaya's conclusion, concluding verse, Yatra Yogeshvara of Bhagavad Gita? So someone could say, well, as Sanjaya said it, not that Krishna said it. But Prabhupada actually confirms it. I was just reading, Prabhupada wrote some beautiful poems called Vrindavan Bhajana back in about 1958. He said, anybody who's strongly fighting on behalf of Krishna, they will have wealth, power, and intelligence within their grasp. So that confirms it. They'll have wealth, power, and intelligence within their grasp. Anyone who fights on behalf of Krishna. So it's the same principle. Wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. So it's true. Actually, Prabhupada, if you read his purport of the Bhagavad Gita, he confirms it. It's true. If it wasn't true, he'd say, well, this is just Sanjaya speaking and you don't take it very seriously. He would have made it clear in the purport that don't take this as authoritative, it's just Sanjaya speaking. Did Prabhupada say that in his purport? No. Prabhupada reconfirms the validity and the truth of the final verse of the Bhagavad Gita in his purport, if you read the purport. See, a lot of these questions will be answered. Just carefully read the purports. Many people ask me questions about a particular verse, and then I look in the purport and the answer is already there. So just read the purport. That's why Prabhupada has given the purport. Read the purport and that will nine times out of ten answer your question. Yes?
Isn't Prabhupada leaving confirmation of that verse?
Yes, Prabhupada is a living, breathing, walking, talking confirmation of that verse. Opulence, he had so much opulence. He went from 10 rupees, or was it?
40 rupees.
10 rupees? 40 rupees, yeah. 40 rupees to multi-millions of dollars under his control and management, you see. How much power he had. He had 10,000 people willing to do whatever he said. Do anything he said. He had complete power over 10,000 people. They'll do whatever he said. Even if he says, give up your life, they'll give up their life. Just like I remember, we were so dedicated to Prabhupada. We would die for Prabhupada. I remember there was some harassment coming from the demons around 1976. Devotees were being kidnapped. And there was some real problem with demons. So I was standing there besides Prabhupada there, but the window, there was a window in the back. There's nobody back there, just me. I was thinking, well, if somebody comes to shoot Prabhupada, I'll just take the bullet. I mean, that's how we felt. That wasn't anything extraordinary. We all felt that way. We would die for Prabhupada. That's how much power he had. We were so dedicated that any of his disciples were willing to die for him. If someone came to attack, we'll immediately lay our life on the line just to save Prabhupada. You see, that was the feeling. We were so dedicated to him. Not that we'd run away. If some demon came to attack Prabhupada, no, we would just give up our life on the spot to protect Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is certainly a living example of them. Morality, I mean, Prabhupada established unbelievable how he got all the hippies who were breaking all the regulated principles to become the highest standard of morality. So yes, Prabhupada is definitely a very good example of them. So it's not some it's only Sanjaya. No, it's Bhagavad Gita. It has the authority, the same, it's just as authoritative as what Krishna has spoken. That's why it's included in the Bhagavad Gita. Just as authoritative as what Krishna has spoken. Anything else? Another one has come? Okay. Why don't pure devotees reveal to others their original spiritual identity in relationship with Krishna? Prabhupada is very firm on this point. If anybody tried to prod him, he would say, that you do not require. And they tried to prod him a little further, he'd say, that you do not require. They tried to prod him and said, that you do not require. Prabhupada is very strong about not revealing this stuff, you see. Very, very strong. The fact is that if... that... devotees sometimes want to jump to their rasa. They want it revealed to them. We knew one hippie girl. She went to Radhakund and with her hippie boyfriend. They were having illicit sex every night at Radhakund, if you can imagine how offensive that was. And she met one Babaji who told her what gopi she was in Krishna's pastime. So she was meditating on I am such and such gopi and having illicit sex with her hippie boyfriend at Radhakunda. And then she went the next day to Vrindavan and got initiated by one sannyasi named Narayan Maharaj. So that's a whole other story. But it's not healthy for us in our neophyte stage to try to jump to understanding who we are in Krishna's pastimes. It actually is detrimental for our achieving our sarupa to try to jump into figuring out who you are, which you cannot do. It's impossible. So that's one reason the pure devotees don't reveal it. They don't want us trying to figure out what we are. It's not that important. That's the point. The important thing is to see that my spiritual master is the dedicated servant of his spiritual master. That's the most important meditation we should have, not what is Prabhupada's rasa with Krishna. That's not very important. He has one, certainly. He did not reveal it to us, and it's not important for us to know it, and it's not important for us to know what our rasa is either. So those are some of the reasons. I've heard that Prabhupada said that America is very wealthy and materially advanced because there were many churches in the past and also because they enshrine in God we trust on their money. Why is it that so much worship of Krishna takes place in India, yet much of India is so poverty-stricken? The fact is that if India had maintained the culture of pure Krishna bhakti, they never would have lost their wealth. India became polluted by impersonalism and sahajiism and demigod worship. That's why India lost its opulence. India has not been purely worshiping Krishna and teaching pure Krishna bhakti. It was practically lost. Prabhupada is reviving it. ISKCON is now reviving it. It's thriving like anything now, our movement in India. If you go there and you see the temples, you know, here you come to the Mangalarti, there's three or four devotees, maybe five or six devotees. You go to Pune, there's 300 devotees in Mangalarti. 300 devotees. In India, it's thriving like anything, our movement, by Prabhupada's potency. It's one thing also that to know something and not do it is a worse reaction than to not know something. And to not know what's right and do the wrong thing, You get some reaction, no doubt. But to know what's right and still do the wrong thing, there's even worse reaction. So that's India's position. They have the Vedic culture, they have the Vedic teachings, but yet they're doing all nonsense. Therefore, their reaction is worse. Okay. We thank you all very much for your participation in this morning's Bhagavatam class. Please take these teachings of Srila Prabhupada deep, deep into your heart and make them your very, very life and soul. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His Grace Sriman Sankarsan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.